Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Down the long battle line from the Baltic to the Sea of Azov, the Soviet forces are on the offensive. Their successes are announced by the victory guns of Moscow. Russia sends us pictures not of those, but of the Red Army gunners in the field. See by the map the territory won back in 13 months. Two fought in the battles for the Steel City. A day in which men and women heroes of the Red Army step out of the ranks to receive the decorations of a grateful Republican Union.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I was thrilled to receive a few listener stories from you guys after last week's announcement. And I just want to put it out there, another announcement, that I love hearing your stories, and I'm itching to do another listener stories episode soon, because those are some of my favorite episodes to listen to on other podcasts. So if you have a story about really anything fascinating, maybe a cult, weird family secrets, cryptids, or ghost stories like Shadow Men, Black Eyed Children, or, again, like I said last week, my MVP, Bigfoot. If you got any Bigfoot stories, I'm your girl. You know, you get the point. Anything interesting, I don't know, natural disaster type stories, which I hope that nothing bad happened to you guys, but currently that just sprung up in my head because it feels like we're about ready to have a tornado in Colorado. The wind is so aggressive right now. But anyways, anything interesting, I cannot wait to hear your stories. It doesn't necessarily have to be cults or murder or the paranormal. I just want to hear your stories. So if you have one, please email it to 7deadlysinnerspodcast@gmail.com. Okay, now for the case. This is a story of women with grit. Women who were brave and women who were sometimes also seductive. So I was working on a whole different case, and then I started listening to this new podcast out by Neil Strauss, where he interviews an actual Russian female sex spy. And then I was like, okay, I'm kind of into this. So I decided to look into this world further, the world of sexpionage, and how brave and alluring female spies helped to change the course of the Second World War, and likely are still changing the course of politics today. In the stories I'll tell you today, I start with the most famous of them all, the Kitty Salon, a brothel the Nazis took over in order to gain intelligence on other high-ranking officials, enemies, frenemies, and beyond. I'll also tell you the stories of a few other notable and infamous brave women who employed their feminine wiles to do extraordinary things. In the words of Betty Pack, who we are going to hear a lot more about later in this episode, quote, ashamed? Not in the least. My superiors told me that the results of my work saved thousands of British and American lives. It involved me in situations from which respectable women draw back. But mine was total commitment. Wars are not won by respectable methods. End quote.
The gigantic Russo-German conflict opens with the mobilization of the Soviets' manpower. All over the Union, men are called to arms as the Nazi invasion machine meets with stubborn resistance by the Red Armies in the field. From cities, towns, and villages, a huge conscript army is born to augment the Soviet regulars fighting in defense of the 180 million people under the hammer and sickle. Deep in the interior regions of the continent, guerrilla fighters are organized and armed with revolvers and hand grenades. This is part of a defense-in-depth policy, which makes every inch of Soviet territory a death trap to the invader. Devastating blows by the Red Army call forth our unstinted admiration and still more practical support. Formidable though the German army still is, its days of riding roughshod over Europe are rapidly in decline.
Sources for this episode include an Atlas Obscura article by Hadley Mears, the book and an interview on History Extra podcast with author Nigel Jones, who penned Kitty's Salon, Sex, Spying, and Surveillance in the Third Reich. Great stories of women spies on CIA.gov and a World War II Gravestone.com article. Have you ever heard of the term honey trap? It's a tactic, a trade name, for a type of spying in political situations, times of war and otherwise. It mostly involves women and girls as spies, but boys and men can also be recruited. All of which, whether forcibly, by coercion, or by choice, into a sort of espionage situation. In our case today, we are focusing on the female honey traps. A world in which the women were taught to be seductive, but sweet. A listening ear. A gentle voice. This all lends itself very well to the term honey trap, and the old saying, you can get more flies with honey than with vinegar. Be gentle, sweet, alluring, and soft, and you might just have Nazi soldiers or even allied Mussolini's foot soldiers eating out of the palm of your hand. They use sex as a weapon. They found the target's weak spots and lured them into giving information or even lured them to their own death. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We first need to set the stage for the time and learn who the infamous Kitty Schmidt, owner of the Kitty Salon, was, and how she got roped into setting up a spy house for the Nazis. Kitty Schmidt was born in Hamburg. And when she was in her early 20s, she was sent to England, like many German-born women were, to perfect their English, or to get a better life of sorts. And she was sent to be a governess to a middle-class family and a piano teacher. She eventually settled in Cardiff, South Wales, and met a shadowy figure, as Nigel Jones, the author of the book, calls him. He was a Spanish man named Zammit, who they think is the son of a Spanish consul in South Wales. She had a child with him, her only daughter, her only child, named Kathleen. But eventually, it wasn't going well, and her sister convinced her to come back to Berlin, saying the streets of Berlin are paved with gold here. So upon receiving that letter, she quickly moved back to Berlin, and, also very quickly, started her brothel business. And no one really knows how she got the money to do so, but she was able to purchase a place and begin housing the girls and inviting the men. Kitty also became a bit of a socialite of sorts. She knew celebrities and people in the acting and writing community, as well as political figures. And she was getting the best of the best to come to her brothel. She was hosting a slew of diplomats, war heroes, wealthy businessmen in her Berlin brothel, which was a stark contrast to the Second World War looming around them and the poverty actually in the streets. But Kitty had found a way in, not in the way she would have necessarily wanted, but before the war broke out, she was thriving in her own way, hosting successful men and the most beautiful sex workers around. And Kitty and her business flourished during the time between World War I and World War II. And it was the right time, because post-World War I, Berlin was a sexual hotspot. And Kitty's Salon was one of the most notorious high-end brothels. It boasted luxurious finishings, well-poured drinks, and like I said, the most beautiful women. The men felt this place was a well-oiled machine of discretion. They felt they were safe in Kitty and her girls' hands. But when Hitler came to power in the 1930s, she decided she needed to flee. His rules didn't align with owning a brothel or being a lady of the night. So she made a plan. She secretly sent money to British banks and attempted to flee to the Netherlands. But she was devastated once apprehended by Nazi police. She was so close. So much of her skill set was manipulating and seducing men, but this time it didn't work. She was now in their clutches. And they? Well, they needed something from her. Spy on our enemies. And Operation Kitty was born.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The guards then took her to Nazi intelligence officers, two men that actually hated each other. First to Schellenberg, who was a womanizer, and then to Heydrich, who, and this is some claim to fame, was called even by Hitler himself. Hitler stated that Heydrich, the spy master, was the man with the iron heart. If Hitler can throw shade at you, you gotta be pretty bad. And Heydrich was insanely jealous and petty when it came to keeping up with his enemies and supposed colleagues. He himself lived a dirty life, and he wanted to keep tabs on anyone else that did. So Kitty is now in this situation where she has to accept being on the side of the Nazis. Otherwise, her fate was being sent to a concentration camp, which many sex workers were during this time. So she agrees to Operation Kitty, despite the fact that this wasn't the person she was. In fact, it seemed to torture her to be involved with such men. But it was this or likely death in a concentration camp. But she found ways to stick to her morals. In fact, according to the History Extra podcast, Nigel Jones says that Kitty actually employed a Jewish woman to save her from the concentration camps as a kitchen worker under the nose of the Nazis, to save this Jewish woman from almost certain death. Because the Nazis had fully infiltrated her brothel. The Nazis were ravaging the streets of Berlin and Europe and spouting doctrine that they by no stretch of the imagination were holding up to. They were taking sex workers to camps, spouting puritanical rules, all while living their own double lives. And it's interesting to note, however, that the Nazi rules, their official doctrine that women should stay home and breed more babies to join the Third Reich, that they should be housewives, that illicit sex was banned, was a complete hypocrisy because many, if not most of the Nazi leaders had mistresses. Even the most puritanical Himmler had a mistress to which he had two illegitimate children with. And there's much debate about Hitler's sexuality. Was he possibly homosexual? Was he a sadomasochist? Who knows? It is said, at least in this book, that Hitler was fine with what any of his men did sexually as long as it didn't interfere with the smooth running of the state. That is all he cared about. Power. And in a brothel, women are less respected, but then considered more trustworthy by these men. And it's interesting to me how the prejudice or disrespect of women by men can actually be the man's downfall. You see, these women were smart, street smart, socially smart, and likely book smart. But these men's egos, and this is where the sin today comes in, pride, could get so in the way of their thinking that they were had by these women, that they placed so little value on, the women got them. For them, it's like, how could this down and out sex worker, beautiful, sure, but smart, no way in their minds, get won over on them? How could that be possible? They were the men. They were the leaders. She was just a fleeting sexual encounter and a good drunken night. But little did they know, they had brave little geniuses on their hands. So Heydrich and Schellenberg converted her brothel into a Nazi spy hub. They implanted 50 microphones, one in every room, under vases, under beds, and a Nazi intelligence officer held court in the basement of the brothel, unbeknownst to the working girls and their high-ranking clients. Carefully picking up bits of information, over 25,000 recordings. In the basement, five Nazis worked throughout business hours, listening in on conversations being transmitted in real time from the bedrooms above. They transcribed everything they heard. And Heydrich also afforded some incredibly luxurious and expansive renovations to the upper floors to attract more prominent customers. He wanted every visitor to have a lavish experience and hopefully reveal any secrets which he was sure they had. He did not trust any of the top German officials that frequented the establishment, nor did he trust the enemies. He wanted information. He was a narcissist of sorts. And many notable men came through, including one of Mussolini's foot soldiers and son-in-law, Ciano, who married Mussolini's daughter and visited the brothel and was heard on recordings famously calling Hitler a ridiculous little clown.
...aufzulösen und den kleinen Rest der ihm verbliebenen Waffen zu zerstören, wenn die anliegenden Nationen ebenso restlos das gleiche tun.
This was a fascinating time, and I couldn't help but think of my great-grandpa Mario, who went against Mussolini and was subsequently kidnapped and made a prisoner of war during this time. My great-grandpa was a four-star general in the Italian Royal Air Force and also lived in the Quirinale Palace after the war. It's essentially the equivalent of the White House, but in Italy. But I couldn't help but hear whispers of his life intertwine with this story. He never fell to a honey trap, nor could he, because when Hitler and Mussolini took power, he was captured in Africa after setting up post. And my nanny, who was about 6 months old when this happened, agreed to explain just the chaos and heartbreak of this time. So my great-grandpa Mario was a prisoner of war for about 6 years until the war let out. So she never actually got to meet her dad. I mean, she was 6 months old when, you know, he left. But she never actually got to meet him until she was about 6 years old. And I wanted to include this short snippet of my interview with my nanny because she actually agreed to speak for the podcast just to show the feelings of the time.
Hello.
Hi, Nanny.
Hi. My father was in the Air Force. He was captain. He was a captain in the Air Force. And he was stationed in Addis Ababa. And he was expected to stay there for a year or two, I guess. I don't know how long the service was. But anyway, so my mother went down to meet him to set up our house, and when she was done, she came back to get me, and I was probably 6 months old or something like that. But the war broke out. That would be 1938 or 39, and I was born in 38, and the war broke out, and she couldn't get back to Africa. So my father was there, and he was captured by the British, and they took him to Kenya, where a prison camp was. And he was there for 6 years.
Wow.
Well, until the end of the war. So I didn't see him again. He left when I was 6 months old, and I didn't see him again until I was six.
Wow. Yeah, I remember seeing the letters that you'd written him.
Because my mother was motivated to get me to write, even so that those letters that you saw, I was 3-4 years old when I wrote them.
Well, so. you're still smart now. You were smart then.
Well, but I was an only child.
Why were they setting up? Why was he supposed to be stationed in Addis Ababa? I'm saying it wrong.
Oh, because that was Italy. That was a colony of Italy. Eritrea and Ethiopia were a colony of Italy.
I see.
Mussolini was trying to have another Roman Empire, and he was trying to colonize some areas of Africa.
Dad didn't agree with him. But also, he wasn't in the party.
So I think that the station in Africa was kind of a punishment.
Because he didn't join whatever Mussolini's party was.
Right. The British defeated him, and they made the Italians got to be prisoners, and he was a prisoner in Kenya for probably 4 years. But anyway, when the war ended, he came back to Rome.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
It was all so tragic, and I can't even think of what happened at those camps. And my heart will always go out to the victims. It's something I still can't even face as an adult. And I mean, not to make it about me, sorry guys, but I remember going to a Holocaust museum. I don't know why they took us there when I was like in second grade or something, and just sobbed for days. Because there are just no words. Other than it's devastating, and I'm eternally heartbroken and sorry for what Hitler and those men did to millions of innocent souls. But let's not get emotional on this podcast right now. Let's focus on the spy world that many of us didn't know existed outside of Bond movies. So along with the girls currently working at Salon Kitty, the Nazis roamed the streets and arrested several sex workers. Some were sent to concentration camps, and the ones they deemed the most suitable or beautiful and intelligent were sent to work at Salon Kitty. Those women and girls, along with women that had been trained as spies, were then converted to sex workers and intelligence officers alike. So think about it. Some of these women came in as trained spies. They were in a program run by Heydrich. And then all of a sudden they're told, hey, you now need to become a sex worker. You need to involve yourself in sex espionage. And these young women and girls were required to write a report of what they discovered, these specific 20 agents that were then converted into the sex workers, were required to write a report of what they discovered during their sessions with the men and report it back to the Nazis after their deadly pillow talk sessions. So think about it. You're entering some sort of program to think you're just going to be like a military personnel type person. And then you get hit with this. Now, you need to have sex with foreign diplomats, businessmen, I mean, even, you know, perceived Nazi enemies in order to gain information. And you have no choice. You have the sex, then you need to write a report, and your body is used for the state. Operation Kitty and Salon Kitty were and still are infamous. So many secrets revealed. So much lurid stories and seedy comings and goings. The brothel closed its doors for a time after an air raid hit it with a bomb. But that wasn't the end of Salon Kitty nor the end of the honey traps. Because more brave women, some who didn't even have to operate in the world of sex, continued to change the course of history. After the air raid in 1942 that demolished Salon Kitty's original location, the Nazis abandoned the Operation Kitty project, and her business was given back to her. But only on the grounds and the threat that she stay silent or else. And Kitty knew what these men were capable of, and so she did. She stayed silent. Kitty had been forced into a criminal and horrible underbelly operation, which lied outside the bounds of her moral compass. She was fine with being in the business of sex because, likely to her, these girls made their choice. She made her choice. But to be forced into, and then by proxy forcing girls into this work by the Nazis, in order to not face the horror of concentration camps, was something that must have been hard to reconcile with. What is the lesser of two evils? But when the Nazis are barking at your door, what do you do? After the raid, Salon Kitty reopened its doors in another location, and the infamous Kitty Schmidt died in 1954. Almost 10 years after the war ended. Her daughter continued to run the brothel for a few decades after. But its legacy still lives on. Some stories may be of lore, some true, but the 25,000 recordings have been lost with time. Ciano, Mussolini's son-in-law, was actually ordered to death by his father-in-law Mussolini by firing squad. Ciano was dismissed from his post by the new government of Italy, put in place after his father-in-law was overthrown. Ciano, Edda, and their three children fled to Germany on August 28, 1943, in fear of being arrested by the new Italian government. The Germans turned him over to Mussolini's new government, the Italian Social Republic. He was then formally arrested on charges of treason. Under German and fascist pressure, Mussolini had Ciano imprisoned before he was tried and found guilty. After the Verona trial and sentence on January 11, 1944, Ciano was executed by a firing squad, along with four others, who had voted for Mussolini's ousting. As a further humiliation, the condemned men were tied to chairs and shot in the back, though Ciano managed to twist his chair around at the last minute to face the firing squad before uttering his final words. Long live Italy. Chano is remembered for his diaries 1937 to 1943, a revealing daily record of his meetings with Mussolini, Hitler, Ribbentrop, four ambassadors, and other political figures. Ada tried to barter his papers to the Germans in return for his life. Gestapo agents helped her confidant Emilio Pucci rescue some of them from Rome. Pucci then was a lieutenant in the Italian Air Force, but would find fame, and I find this so crazy, after the war as a fashion designer. Pucci, the fashion designer, involved in the war. And by the way, one of those Nazi higher-ups that, you know, were frequenting the brothel also dated Coco Chanel. I mean, it's... this story has many layers. But Etta would not be so lucky to barter these papers for her husband's life. When Hitler vetoed the plan, she hid the bulk of the papers, and Pucci helped Etta escape to Switzerland with five diaries covering the war years, which were then buried beneath a rose garden. But Salon Kitty wasn't the only place, and the women there, not the only women, to crack the codes and brave the men in this horrific world war. There were several others, a school teacher, a diplomat's wife, graduate students, and a South Carolina socialite. And more on those women next week. Perhaps my personal favorite would be Betty Pack, a stellar outlier, an incredibly brave and complex woman. And next week, it will conclude this two-part series on wartime sexpionage and intelligent female spies. The hardships they endured and the wins and changes they made in our world's history. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. I love you guys. Until next week. Bye.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.